Chapter 11, The Dude Abides, What Supports to Put in Place. So, is it possible for one to abide while being bipolar? The answer is yes, but you honestly can't do it well alone. The strikes and gutters are too extreme to handle without help. But all help is not equal. This book wouldn't be complete without an overview of some of the ways different people who are in your life, or who need to be in your life, can best support you in your journey. Your first line of defense, of course, are your friends and family. Ideally, they will be honest with you, and they'll be willing to risk your wrath when manic or cold shoulder when depressed to tell you when you're not being completely honest with yourself or managing your condition well. This is much easier for others to do when you empower them to confront you when they see it going off the rails one way or another. At least in the United States, it's not seen as a good thing from a cultural standpoint to be seen as someone who meddles or butts in when their opinion isn't welcome, so people are often hesitant to do it. That's why it's important for your friends and family to know that you want them to intervene if they see you getting too high or too low. You will have to warn them that you may not listen, however, and having understanding friends who try and fail to get you to pay attention to the warning signs they're seeing is far superior to having friends who watch the warning signs fly by and do nothing, or worse, who enable your self-destructive behavior. You definitely should have other supports, but if you at least have supportive friends and family, then you have a fighting chance. Another indispensable person you should have in your life is a good psychiatrist. Unfortunately, you're going to need this person for the rest of your life. No one likes an unmedicated bipolar person, and going off your meds is the greatest indicator of future problems. If you want to maintain a sense of balance and a semblance of predictability in your life, a good psych is essential. Now, I didn't always understand the difference between a psychiatrist and a therapist, but they're two very different but important types of support. A psychiatrist is a doctor who can prescribe medications for you and help you find the right drug cocktail to keep you stable. They are similar to therapists in that they ask you about your life and how things are going, but they're doing it to try and assess where your mood is at and how to help you thrive from a medical standpoint while also doing their best to keep you from being admitted. They're not the ones you go to every week or month to talk through all of your life's problems. That's what your therapist is for. More on that in a minute. What's important in a psychiatrist is that you trust them and they listen to you. One thing reinforces the other, of course. There's nothing worse than a psychiatrist who doesn't listen or take your concerns into account when prescribing medications. They can easily end up doing more harm than good, just like a doctor who is dealing with your physical health. If you feel like your psych isn't listening or you don't trust them, it's time to have a frank conversation and/or move on to find another one. It's not easy to find a good psych, but it is worth it for sure. At this point, it's probably worth noting that I'm putting these people in order of importance, at least as I see it. Friends and family members are crucial, as is a good psych. A good therapist is also important, especially if you've never been to one. I would argue that the longer you've lived with bipolar, the less essential they become. But if you've just recently been diagnosed, you should absolutely work with a therapist. I'd go for at least 6 months, going as often as every 1 to 2 weeks at first, possibly more often than that if needed. A therapist is going to help you deal with everything that's not medication, although the good ones are also knowledgeable about medications as well. Try to find ones who specialize in working with people with bipolar, because every illness is unique and experience does matter. Ideally, your therapist will help teach you about the disorder generally and help you better understand how it affects you in particular. It's important to use them correctly, however, as you can't just expect to show up and have them fix you. You can make your sessions far more helpful to you and easier on them by preparing ahead of time. I have a note in my phone of things I want to talk with my therapist about, and it saves us both a lot of time. Some of them are problems that are unique to being bipolar, while others are simply everyday problems that everyone deals with. Sometimes I don't know which kind of problem it is until I talk with my therapist, however. You might be wondering if it's worth it to see a therapist, as they're not cheap and often they're not covered by insurance. I would argue that having someone you can be completely honest with about your fears and insecurities and who can be completely honest with you about what you need to work on is incredibly helpful. In my own mental health journey, I've been to many different therapists, and like psychiatrists, trust is essential. And I don't just mean you trust them to have your best interest at heart. I also mean that you trust who they are as a person. There are very few people outside of our friends and family who we give more power to in terms of knowing our deepest, darkest secrets. So if there's a mismatch between you and them in terms of values, it's going to color your treatment. I've left therapists because I thought their political or religious views were problematic. I've found that I don't really like working with male therapists either because I don't think they're as good at listening or identifying the relevant issues. I value having a different perspective and being challenged to think differently. Not all therapists are going to work for me, and the same therapist who I can't stand may be the ideal one for you, and vice versa. The point is that it's a highly personal and idiosyncratic thing to find a therapist that works well for you, and finding one who syncs with your personality is far more important when it comes to therapy than it is when trying to find a good psych. I'll take a therapist I sync well with and whose worldview I share, but who has to constantly consult the DSM-5 every session over one who graduated at the top of their class but is a straight white Republican guy. That's just never going to work for me. The important thing is to figure out what works for you, which is probably the biggest thread tying this whole darned book together. Another thing that I have found to be incredibly helpful is belonging to a support group, especially a bipolar/mood disorder support group. I've belonged to one of these regularly for a while, and I honestly struggled with whether or not to put it higher up on the list of most important types of relationships to have, because a good support group can be a great substitute for a therapist if you're not in a position financially to work with one. They can't really replicate what a psychiatrist does, but I would argue that they can be just as helpful in other ways. The benefit of a support group is that nearly everyone in the group knows what it's like to be in your shoes in one way or another, and that's rare to find. Having bipolar is something that you can explain to others, but recognizing racing thoughts in others is a very different thing from experiencing racing thoughts for yourself. Having an entire group of people who can hear what's happening in your life and instantly relate it to something they've experienced can be invaluable, particularly when you haven't gone through it yet. If nothing else, a support group makes you realize that you're not alone and that other people are going through largely similar struggles and coming out of them okay. And if you're having trouble finding one, why not join mine? Visit gemcitycircleofdudists.org/bipolar support to learn more about when we meet. Personally, I always find it equally as helpful to know, too, that there are bipolar people out there who are thriving and people out there who are in far worse places as well. And because you're all bipolar, you might be the unstable person one week and the one who has their shit together, relatively speaking, the next. Having that perspective helps you realize that this, too, shall pass. The fact that absolutely nothing is permanent becomes incredibly empowering when you apply it to a mental health disorder. Being in a group like this helps you gain a perspective on the illness by recognizing that it's all in your head, but not in the sense that this means it's easy to get over. I mean, it's all in your head in the sense that it's a chemical imbalance that isn't permanent, and your life situation can be exactly the same from one week to the next, while your perception of it is wildly different because it's dependent on your mood, not on your reality. I would argue that a support group is a useful tool for anyone suffering with bipolar. But if you find yourself lacking in other external sources of support, such as friends, family members, or mental health professionals, it's an indispensable tool that you can utilize to great effect. And finally, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the most important relationship that you have to foster if you want to navigate life successfully while being bipolar, your relationship with yourself. You, at the end of the day, are the one constant in your life. Your thoughts and habits and ability to be disciplined about getting help are more important than any other relationship you have. Sometimes it's all you have. That's why it's so important that you love yourself, are honest with yourself, and are always working to become a better version of yourself. That means working towards your dreams while operating firmly in reality. It means paying attention to your warning signs and taking corrective action whenever you're heading into trouble. It means planning ahead for the bad times so you can enjoy the good times. Most importantly, it means always striving to learn from your mistakes. Making a mistake isn't usually fatal. Repeatedly making the same mistakes over and over and over again, however, is the best recipe I know for losing jobs, financial security, relationships, and ultimately losing control over your life. Bipolar is a thief. Don't let it take everything away that you hold dear. But how exactly can you not only get by while living with bipolar disorder, but also thrive? That's what we'll talk about next in the final chapter.